This is number 10. We're in that section of discussion dealing with morale in organization, morale building, keep the morale of our workers and employees and those that are involved in our organization on a high footing or high level. What about morale problems? How can we resolve morale problems? Well, the problem area is identified through a search of company records, observation, or even an attitude survey. These problems must be resolved. If not, then the situation will worsen and will not go away. As an example, after Walt Disney World's management tabulated and analyzed responses to an employee opinion survey, they made some of the following changes. Number one, increased hourly pay for more than 70% of the employees in certain job categories. Number two, reduced by 1 year the length of service required to qualify for 3 weeks of vacation. Number three, added another paid holiday. Number four, agreed to investigate the need for a daycare center for employees' children. Number five, built an employee's gas station to sell fuel to workers on a non-profit basis. Number six, gave employees a 20% discount on parts and labor for repairs at the car care center. And number seven, simplified transfer procedures among jobs and posted regular bulletins announcing job openings. Working to identify areas that can negatively affect the work environment is extremely important. Still more important are the techniques a manager can utilize to improve the work environment, increase motivation, and improve morale. Well, what can managers do to improve the work environment? What can managers do to ultimately increase motivation? What can managers do to improve morale in the organization that they are leading? The answer depends on the skills and the interest of the individual manager, as well as on the support provided by the manager's organization. Generally, approaches to be taken can be placed in three specific categories. Management techniques and practices, techniques focused on job redesign, and techniques that provide work flexibility. Let's look first at management techniques and practices. The individual manager has a number of tools available to improve the environment for his employees. These tools are within the control of the manager and generally depend on his or her managerial philosophy and leadership style. These include praise and recognition for work well done, delegation, participative management, management by objectives, and quality circles. We look at each of these. Praise and recognition for work well done. Certainly we all like to be praised for something that we've done. Giving deserved praise may seem like an obvious way to improve the work environment, but how many managers consistently do it? Supervisors who know subordinates as feeling individuals know that they value praise. They may redouble their efforts after well-deserved congratulations or recognition for a job well done. To most workers, honest praise and recognition are powerful motivators. The result may be higher productivity and heightened morale. Managers need to be sensitive to the needs of employees for praise and recognition. If an employee does a good job and receives no praise, a negative reaction can develop. Wouldn't it be logical to think that no one cares if good work goes unnoticed? The response, if they don't care, why should I? And then practicing delegation. Providing the opportunity for employees to make important decisions, even those with a relatively high degree of risk, also improves the work environment. When a manager delegates, he or she gives employees the freedom to succeed or fail. This, in turn, encourages creative thinking as well as decision making. Any manager can delegate. It is a personal philosophy that a manager can use without a formal order from top management. Those managers who delegate authority must realize that not all employees are comfortable making important decisions. It's up to the manager to encourage these employees to take risks. And then there's the idea of practicing participative management. Like delegation, participative management can be used by all managers. Well, how is this possible? The supervisor simply provides the opportunity for subordinates to have a greater voice in the decisions that affect them. Participative managers are comfortable with this approach. When workers are involved in decisions and changes that directly affect their jobs, this experience helps them fulfill their self-esteem and their self-actualization needs. In addition, participation acknowledges them as thinking individuals, taps into their talents, and it aids in developing them as well. One of the areas that certainly would fall into this category of morale building is identified as management by objectives. An excellent technique to guarantee participation in management is management by objectives. Management by objectives, MBO, is a technique designed to improve motivation and commitment by having the manager and employee jointly set objectives, assess progress on the objectives, and evaluate the end results. Management by objectives allows employees to understand goals fully. Because employees are involved in a joint goal-setting process, there's a greater commitment to meeting these goals. Finally, the employee knows specifically how she or he will be evaluated. Management by objectives results in a mutually agreed-on series of goals for the employee. It also opens up communication from manager to employee. And finally, it gives the subordinate specific indicators of how he or she will be evaluated. If management by objectives is used in the entire organization, it becomes both a planning system as well as a performance appraisal system. It will link all of the levels of management together. Each manager will negotiate with the next lowest level of management on specific goals, which will help the people in the organization achieve their objectives. And then you remember one of the things that we mentioned just a few moments ago was quality circles. Another worker participation opportunity is provided by a quality circle. A quality circle is a cooperative effort by workers and supervisors to find ways to improve operations and quality. Quality circles focus their attention on gaining worker input and cooperation in programs of cost reduction as well as improvement. In recent years, quality circle activity have increased dramatically. A conservative estimate is that over 90% of the Fortune 500 companies now have quality circle programs in their structures. Quality circles rely on the commitment of all company personnel. They operate at the supervisory level, of course, in most firms. They involve workers' voluntary participation. Quality circle sessions are held regularly, most often daily, to focus on only one problem that the supervisor or participants wish to consider. Suggestions are brainstormed, refined, and forwarded to management for consideration. Feedback is designed to be immediate so that progress can be seen and contributions can be noted. Another thing as we think about motivation and morale has to do with the techniques that we would focus perhaps even on job redesign. To improve the work environment, management has attempted to redesign jobs to put challenge and other psychological rewards into the work. Through job redesign, employees can be provided with different experiences, more variety, or more control. Techniques of job redesign include such things as job enlargement, job rotation, and job enrichment. Job enlargement increases the variety of the number of tasks that a job includes. It can add to a person's satisfaction with and certainly commitment to the job when he or she is suffering from underload and boredom. A person's sense of competence improves as the volume of output also improves. The challenge comes from having more and different tasks. Then job rotation. Job rotation assigns people to different jobs or different tasks on a temporary basis. The idea is to expose people to various jobs and how the jobs relate one to the other. Assembly line workers, for example, may be assigned one set of tasks one month, another set of tasks the next month, and so forth. Job rotation can be used really to cross-train, which in turn makes employees better resources for the organization. Job rotation can help stimulate people to higher levels of contribution and renew people's interest and enthusiasm. But managers should realize that once the novelty wears off and the new tasks are mastered, then boredom and lack of interest can once again return. The time value will depend upon the employee's personal feelings toward the experience. And then there's job enrichment. Job enrichment is directed at giving the worker more authority over the work, providing a variety of tasks, and increasing responsibility. Job enrichment applies Hertzberg's motivational factors to a job, thus allowing employees to satisfy some of their psychological needs. Specifically, job enrichment is aimed at introducing new and more difficult tasks, giving the person the opportunity to control a total unit of work from start to finish, providing additional authority for decision-making, and permitting workers to act as their own quality control. Well, what does job enrichment require? Although job enrichment offers impressive benefits, it means sweeping organizational changes. Management must rewrite job descriptions. Management must provide extensive training, and in manufacturing, for example, rearrange the flow of materials and layout of machines to accommodate several assembly operations now condensed into one specific area or job. It is especially important that employees understand and accept the action because workers, especially those who are unionized, may accuse management of trying to increase their workload. In addition, job enrichment should not be a short-term experiment. Whatever changes are made should match a job's level of challenge to the job holder's skill. Once a job is enriched, it may need to be enriched again. Once people experience the benefits of job enrichment, they will be reluctant to give them up. For the first time at work, people may experience a sense of competence, independence, and recognition, and a sense of responsibility. Another set of techniques available to management to improve the work environment focuses on providing flexibility with the time frame that the job is done and who does the job. These techniques include flex time, job sharing, sometimes called twinning, T-W-I-N-N-I-N-G, and the four-day work week. Flex time, or flexible working hours, allows employees to decide within a certain range when to begin and end each work day. It thus allows them to take care of personal business before or after work, to vary their daily schedules, and certainly to enjoy more control over their lives. Companies that have adopted this approach have reported decrease in absenteeism, lower turnover, less tardiness, and higher morale. Flex time workers must work a fixed number of hours each day, but within limits, they may vary their starting and quitting time. Employees may be permitted to start as late as 10 a.m. or leave as early as 3 p.m., for example, as long as they work 8 hours before leaving. And then there's job sharing or twinning. Job sharing permits two part-time workers to divide one full-time job. This is practical in such fields as laboratory work, clerical jobs, retail sales. Insurance companies, banks, fast food chains, and hospitals have all tried it. Such an occupational buddy system is ideal for parents who are raising school-aged children, or retirees or students, or those who prefer part-time to full-time work. Job sharers enjoy a less demanding work day and certainly have more personal freedom. Employers who use a job-sharing arrangement have discovered that it does not have the negative effects that they sometimes feared. It has proven so popular that companies have been created to design job-sharing programs even for their clients. Most job sharers receive prorated fringe benefits, which may include life and health insurance, sick leave, and paid vacation. Employers value the often complementary skills and innovative approaches that job sharing can bring to one task. Also valued is the greater enthusiasm and energy that is available because neither person must do a full day's work. Sometimes a position can be split into two distinct parts, data gathering and report writing, or assembly and testing, and each employee can perform the function that he or she likes and that he or she does best. Well, we've seen many things. Perhaps, one other thing let's mention. Let's mention the four-day work week. The four-day work week has received mixed reviews from both employers and employees. Reactions vary from delight to being disgruntled. Organizations have experimented with it and found positive reactions from the workforce. There's more time with family, they're able to attend to personal plans, less absenteeism. But companies have found other problems to contend with. Providing coverage for a person's task, replacing people in customer contact positions, and concern about real productivity of 10-hour days. Well, these are just some things that perhaps we could review and some things that certainly we could consider as we think about building morale in our particular organization. By way of review, once an organization has acquired the best possible human resources to perform a job, managers are faced with the challenge of creating a positive work environment where employees can grow. The work environment is the key to developing and maintaining motivated workers who will achieve organizational objectives. An influence on the work environment created by a manager is the development of a management philosophy. Theory Y is a positive philosophy about people at work. Theory X is a negative philosophy of management. Direct outcome of a manager's philosophy of management is the ability to recognize and work with people as individuals. As individuals, we're all motivated differently. Maslow's hierarchy of needs theory and Hertzberg's motivational maintenance theory provide managers with tools to help provide for motivation in the work environment. Though approached differently, Hertzberg's motivation and maintenance factors provide the same needs identified in Maslow's hierarchy. Managers aid in building a supportive work environment by providing leadership. Managers alter their leadership style depending on the interaction of the manager, the employee, and the particular work environment. Managers can select the appropriate style from three options: autocratic, participative, or free reign. How well managers have done in providing leadership to build a motivated work environment can be judged from the general morale of the workforce. Morale is important because it affects the quality and quantity of output produced. It's important for managers to monitor the morale of employees and make adjustments to work environments to maintain positive morale. Managers and organizations have techniques to maintain and improve the work environment, to increase motivation, and certainly to improve morale. Generally, the techniques can be placed in three categories. The first category is management techniques and practices. This would include such things as praise and recognition, delegation, participation, management by objectives, and quality circles. And then the second technique is techniques focused on job redesign, such as job enlargement, job rotation, and job enrichment. And then third, there are techniques that provide work flexibility, such as flex time, job sharing, and the four-day work week, which involves, of course, working 10 hours a day for 4 days during that week. One of the things that was mentioned in the last few moments of discussion, or actually in the last part of number 9, had to do with the employee attitude survey. And we said that this was a more formal way to check on the morale, was to use this employee attitude or opinion survey. This, of course, is a questionnaire that lets workers express their feelings about their jobs, and they can do this in an anonymous nature, and certainly it's a very thorough survey. All the workers can be given the questionnaire if the management wishes, and it's a way to gather honest responses about employee morale. Let me just share with you some of the questions that perhaps could be asked on a employee attitude survey. Now, this is certainly not extensive by any means, but maybe this would give you somewhat of an idea of how something like this could be implemented. The employee is asked to answer each question based upon his or her feeling. The only correct answer, they are told, is your frank opinion. Please do not sign your name on this questionnaire. Answer each question one of the following ways: definitely no, probably no, probably yes, or definitely yes. Well, what are the questions? Let me just list some of these. Number one, do you get feedback? That is information about your performance. Do you get feedback in a way you feel treats you like a mature, reasonable person? Second, in the last couple of months, have you thought that you would like to quit or change jobs because you do not like the work itself? Thirdly, is it possible for you to know whether you're doing well or poorly on your job the way that it's now run? Fourthly, do you feel that your job is set up so that it is too closely supervised? Fifthly, does your job, as presently structured, give you reasonable opportunities for individual recognition? Sixthly, do you feel that parts of your job could be eliminated without really affecting the work of the organization? Number seven, do you feel your job is monotonous, that the work itself provides no basic interest? Number eight, do you have a reasonable say in deciding how your job will be carried out? Number nine, do you get enough information to allow you to control your own work process? Number ten, do you feel you have things checked unnecessarily by supervisors? Number 11, do you feel your present assignment is a job where you can continue to learn? Number 12, do you feel that you waste a good deal of time because of the way you have to do your job? Number 13, do you like the work itself that you're actually doing? Number 14, do you feel that you decide exactly how you do your own work? 15. Do you feel your work is set up in such a way that your supervisors can let you know when you're doing well? 16. Do you feel your work is checked too much? 17. Do you feel your present assignment is a good one for a person who wants to be advanced in this business? 18. In carrying out your job, do you feel much of your time is wasted because the work is not well organized by the company? 19. When you're away from work, do you think of your job as something you look forward to? 20. Do you get enough information about how you're doing in your work to allow you to correct errors and improve your performance? 21. Do you feel your job could operate well with less supervision? 22. Do you feel your job is a dead end as far as a work career is concerned? 23. Do you feel your job is organized so that it is easy as possible to carry out effectively? 24. Do you find your work interesting enough to talk about with people outside of your work situation? 25. Do you feel you get enough feedback about your work? 26. Do you feel that your job is a place where you can continually learn something worthwhile? 27. Do you find your job less interesting than, say, 6 months ago? 28. Do you get enough opportunity to correct your own errors in how you do things? 29. Do you find that the longer you hold your job, the more boring it becomes? And 30. Do you feel satisfied with the way in which you get feedback about your work? Again, just an idea as to how this particular survey, this employee attitude survey, could be arranged and worded. Again, certainly not complete. It can certainly be added to, can certainly be rearranged as far as your own particular organizational setting is concerned, but just somewhat of an idea, just some suggestions that at least might give you something of a workable nature that you might want to use in your own organizational setting.